Our study this morning comes from the book of Joel, one of the minor prophets, minor in the length of the book, not in content, of course. And something to note here is that the name Joel means Jehovah is God. So names are important, and we all should realize that. Now, the message of Joel was repent and God will deliver you, as God is sending his people a warning. Yes, there's a greater judgment to follow. The locust invasion is only the forerunner of the coming judgment. So we want to take heed and learn from our study this morning as we'll go to Joel chapter 2 and have some lessons there for our admonition and for our admonishment. So we want to begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street, Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. What more important thing could we be doing? Well, that should go without saying. That's the most important thing we could be doing. And hopefully we all are doing just that. Now, I want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and we strive to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern in truth, but also with a proper attitude in spirit. And you would be most welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, we're always glad to have Bible studies. Of course we are. And we're glad to answer Bible questions you may have. We appreciate your comments, positive or negative. And again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now we're ready to get into our study this morning in the book of Joel. And I was going to mention, I think most of the cicadas are about gone, at least what I'm observing. And for a while, though, we certainly could hear them. Well, of course, locusts and cicadas are similar. And imagine, of course, as an army of them would approach like a black cloud, and the damage they could do to farmland, of course, and not only that, but other people's trees and property as well. And so we can appreciate the situation here with God's people needing to get woke up. That's the situation that we're going to see here as we go now to verse 1 of chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, and look at verse 1 with me if you're not driving. Blow ye the trumpet. In other words, sound the alarm in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. So this is to the southern kingdom, Judah. And of course, Zion would be in Jerusalem. And so you see a day of darkness and a gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. This is God's warning. It's time to repent. It's similar to what Isaiah said by inspiration in Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob, their sins. So what are preachers to do today? Are we to be meek in the sense of just not voicing concern over the direction of our country as it slides downhill and is headed for what? Destruction. And of course, in a spiritual sense, what about the situation in the church? Yes, are we getting stronger and growing and just preaching the truth, God's word, wherever we're at and so forth? Or is the situation also declining? So the alarm needs to be sounded, doesn't it? That's what preachers are to do today. Of course, we're to preach balanced preaching as we preach positive and negative. Yes, we're to uplift, exhort, encourage, but we're also to rebuke with all long suffering. There's a time now for sounding the alarm, is there not? Well, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we need to be preaching the truth. Preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. No, what will they do? They'll heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. We don't want to have itching ears. We want to hear the truth. And when the truth is preached, we need to uphold those men who are doing so. Yes, of course, we need to preach the truth in love with a proper attitude. That needs to be emphasized as well. But nonetheless, the alarm needs to be sounded. Yes, as we go to 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15, notice Paul, by inspiration, writing to the young evangelist Timothy, facing his near execution. It was drawing near, wasn't it? Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, that is, be aware, Timothy, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He didn't want to have the truth preached. He was a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. We better not be in that situation. Paul called him out, though, did he not? He was sounding the alarm. Yes, let's take heed, as there are warnings throughout the Bible. Jude 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now that's for our learning and admonition, isn't it? Of course it is. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 Peter 3, 10 and 11. Yes, that day is coming, but we know not when. The thief doesn't announce he's coming. People are trying to say it won't be long, the Lord is coming soon, and things like this. They don't know. The angels of heaven don't know. Why do they think they know? They do not. Let's stay with the Bible. The point is, we need to be ready. It may be today. It may be 1,000 years from today. We just don't know. But the point is, let us be what we ought to be. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Of course, in all holy conversation and godliness. That's what we need to be concerned with. And you see that global warming, climate change, whatever you want to call it, that's not going to destroy the earth. Oh no, it's the day of the Lord. That's what's going to happen. And it'll be God who will melt all the elements with a fervent heat. The earth's going to be burned up, yes, but the works that are therein shall be burned up as well. So let's be aware of that. That's a warning, isn't it? We need to understand that. Be prepared. We need to be aware of evil workers, Philippians 3:2. And notice in Revelation 3:22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. They needed to pay attention. We need to pay attention as well. That's right. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And that would apply to all of God's word, would it not? Well, of course it would. We're not to tamper with God's word. You see, this is a warning, and we need to sound the alarm and take heed. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. We better take heed, because we can fall. Any of us, preachers, elders, wives of preachers and wives of elders and deacons' wives and every member of the church. If they're not taking heed, if they're not being grounded and rooted, yes, into the faith, being steadfast, no matter what happens, then any of us can fall. That's right. So we need to take heed. Well, let's go on now in our study and notice verses 12 and 13, still in Joel chapter 2. Therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with all and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So we're to rend our hearts, not our garments, and turn to the Lord our God if we're unfaithful. If we're in need of repentance, this applies to us, just like it did in the days of Joel the prophet. And we need to know that God demands more than outward repentance. Oh yes, as we know from Psalm 51, David's psalm after his sin with Bathsheba, notice verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We've got to have that broken spirit, humbling ourselves before God. And godly sorrow will lead us to repentance. And repentance is shown by works, not just sorrow. Revelation 2:5, as Christ speaking to the Church of Christ at Ephesus, they had left their first love. Chapter 2, verse 4. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. That's what the Lord said. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Judas, that the disciple who betrayed our Lord and Savior. He was with worldly sorrow and went out and hung himself, but he wasn't with godly sorrow. Returning to the Lord, he could have been forgiven. I want us to go now to Matthew chapter 21, as Jesus will tell us what is true repentance. And we'll start with verse 28 here in Matthew 21. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. So he lied, didn't he? Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, for John, notice John the Immerser, came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So there is the biblical definition of repentance. You see, here's a son that's disobedient to his father. He would not go at first, but what did he do? He repented. He changed his will and did his father's will and went. But the second son said he's going to go, but he does not. And you see, these are those who were refusing to humble themselves and accept Jesus as the Messiah. And they didn't submit to his authority. They rejected it. They had rejected John's baptism. You see, so we need to understand that. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. Verse 32. But who's going in to the kingdom? Who's going to be those who obey the gospel when the church begins? The publicans and the harlots. And they would, of course, be added to the church if they were baptized under John's baptism before, of course, Jesus went to the cross. So we need to appreciate the biblical definition of repentance. What stands in the way? Pride. That's what gets in the way. Isn't that correct? Well, of course it is. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. Pride is what led Satan to rebel against God. We don't want to follow after him, do we? Of course not. Well, let's go on in our study now and notice verse 14 here of Joel chapter 2. Who knoweth if he, that is God, will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? In other words, instead of judgment, there can be a blessing left behind. They would be blessed and God would be praised. That's right. We need to understand that God means business. And we need to sound the alarm for those who are in need of repentance. Those who have obeyed the gospel but have left the truth and gone back into the world. They need to understand that there can be a blessing instead of judgment. But if you remain in your sins, you'll go before Christ on the day of judgment unprepared. We want to meet God prepared, do we not? We should. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Romans 11:22. So they would be blessed and God would be praised if they do the right thing and repent. God is gracious and merciful. Back in 13, did we see that? Unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So let's appreciate that. Isaiah 30:18. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Are we waiting for God? Are we waiting to do his will and putting it off? That's not the kind of wait we want to be doing. Of course not. But we want to wait on the Lord in a proper way and submit to his will, not ours. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's right. God is not going to go against his word. It's impossible for God to lie. And so he's not slack concerning his promise, of course, as men are. But he's long-suffering, patient, waiting. We shouldn't keep the Lord waiting. He doesn't want us to perish. He wants us to come to repentance. But it's up to us to make the right choice, isn't it? Well, let's go on now to verses 15 and 16. Still in Joel chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Yes, that's babies, isn't it? Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. This is the assembly. Let's get the people together. Well, this relates to the situation of our worship services, doesn't it? And our Bible classes. We need to gather together. We have different classes, of course, for different ages. But when it comes time to worship God, we're all to assemble together. Now, that includes the babies. Of course, there's times when the mother has to go out and take care of the baby. We know what that entails. We have nurseries. They can still see through the window. Here, there's usually a speaker in the nursery. But we're all together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Do we understand that? We certainly wouldn't want to forsake the assembly. Of course, when we're sick and taking care of a sick child, policemen, firemen, and doctors, nurses have to be on duty on Sundays, we know, at times, certain jobs like that. But what's our attitude about wanting to assemble together in one place, not a divided assembly as some have tried to justify even in the Lord's church today? But look at 1 Corinthians 11:18, 20, and 23. One place. We need to be together. But one more, well, several more points as time is getting by us quickly. Let's go to verse 20. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. So here in verse 20, the locusts remain, those that are remaining would stink, and be a reminder to the people not to go back into rebellion against God. That's right. Our sins leave scars even though we are forgiven. And these scars should be reminders to us never to go back into sin. Don't do that ever again. Don't go back to the vomit or the mire, 2 Peter 2:22. Of course not. Don't leave the truth and go back into sin, in other words. But one more lesson we want to emphasize this, and this is verses 28 through 32, as we all should be aware of this prophecy. Verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Spiritual blessings, here they're coming. This is the prophecy of the church. And so the kingdom of God was established where? In Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. I wish we had more time to go there and read of that great day. But the church was established there in Acts 2 as Christ purchased it with his precious blood. It is his body. He is the head of his body, as we see in Colossians 1:18, as he purchased it again with his blood, Acts 20:28. Yes, we need to preach Acts chapter 2. Of course we do. And notice again, verse 32, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." Well, how shall we call upon the name of the Lord? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, after Peter and the other apostles preached the gospel of Christ, in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And notice what they did that day when they heard the gospel of Christ preached, as they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What was the answer Peter gave them? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Yes, you must repent. They've already believed that Jesus is the Christ. That's why they cried out, realizing they had helped crucify the Lord. And so they needed to be baptized after repenting, having made the good confession unto salvation. They were immersed into a watery grave to contact the precious blood of Christ, as we must do today, Romans 6, 3 through 6. So to call upon the name of the Lord is to obey God's will, as you see in Acts 22, 16, Romans 10, 12 through 17. Have we learned from these great lessons from the book of Joel? I hope we have. And we thank you so much for listening today.